It wouldn't be spring training without seeing this gentleman. It wouldn't be spring training without talking to him. And quite frankly, for the past three mornings, we've shared breakfast together, which has been a lot of fun. Don't tell anybody that.
It was Pat. It was a lot of fun for you, Pat. I would just like to ask.
It was Pat Hankin.
Oh, yeah. No, it was a lot of fun. I enjoyed it. 6:30 in the morning, sharp.
Oh, it's great. Great. Nothing like a little Holiday Inn Express coffee to get the conversation flowing. Pat, how many years have you been coming down to Dunedin?
Since 1986. So let's do the math here. Said 30.
We'll stop at 30. 30 some years you've been coming down here. Look, there's a lot of talk about how different this camp is structured, how things are being done differently. You've been here now for a couple of days. What have you seen? Do they all seem the same, or is there some different stuff going on here?
Well, being here only 3 days, I'm still trying to observe and get to know the new staff. So for me, you know, getting to know Charlie's been great. He's been fantastic, and Duncan and all the coaches. For me, I do have a security blanket with Pete Walker here. So Pete and I go way back. So for me, I haven't seen a ton of changes, but I need some more time. Yeah.
Yeah, I want we've been talking a lot about technology this spring, Pat, and especially with the pitchers. They've got an amazing setup over at Matic with all these things. Things I frankly don't understand, but I just wonder how much that is becoming part of your world. That's accumulating the data, having the data explained to you, understanding the ways you can understand a pitcher's motion, the way a ball comes out of his hands in a way that you can't with the human eye.
Right, with the slow motion cameras, we're going to have it all the affiliates. We're going to have it out there for each side day too. It's really neat for the players to go back in and say, okay, I felt this. We can match up that video with his exact pitch. And then the guys love it too. They love all the information. So as pitching coaches, we're all striving to get better. We're all striving to learn all this information. The good thing is that each affiliate does have a guy that's there to help us with the pitching coaches. So I think that it's going to be really good for us. I think you're going to look at spin axis and spin rate and extension rate and all the stuff that all the new stats. It's intriguing. It's fun for all of us.
Does it surprise you sometimes? Like, does the data tell you something that your eye? I've asked pitchers this here as well, that sometimes maybe you felt good or you felt like the ball, or the opposite, and you saw something that the data told you something that you didn't expect to see.
It's good that we can match up our eyes with the data. I think that's the biggest thing. Like talking to Jeff Ware, the pitching coordinator, and Pete Walker, you go, okay, I think he does have good spin rate. I like the way he's getting on top of his curveball. And then you can match it up with the spin axis. And, it's funny because a guy like Kershaw doesn't actually have really good spin axis. And you'd be surprised to hear that, one of the greatest pitchers in the last 25 years. And he doesn't have the greatest spin axis. So it's not an end-all. It's just a great tool and a resource for all of us.
Pat, when you talk about dealing with younger players, you've been here you've been a coach in this staff, you've been an advisor, you've dealt with a lot of young pitchers. Is this particular generation, like the kids now who are 19, 20, 21, are they just more comfortable using technology because they grew up playing video games, they grew up with cell phones, they grew up with iPhones? Are they just more comfortable absorbing that?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, shoot, sometimes as a coach, we learn a lot from the players. I mean, they had it in their college program, they had it in their high school program, they were at the Perfect Games events. So they're pretty aware of it as we get them into the organization. The good thing is, like I said, we're going to have one of those video guys at every affiliate, which is going to be really helpful.
One of the things I was told about the a lot of the stuff that's been done in baseball right now is that, obviously it's going to be a benefit to the guys who were the stars. I mean, Justin Verlander talked about how important using Houston stuff was. But I got to think, too, that for a guy who's a tweener or a guy who maybe is just on the cusp of a career, if technology can, if you can find something out about a particular pitch the guy has or something like that and develop it, you might actually be able to save, in some cases, careers with it, correct?
Absolutely. We have a young pitcher. I'm not going to mention his name, but he actually gets people up in the zone. And for the last two or three years, all he's been thinking about is pounding the ball down. So we've been able to show him that, look, when your ball's up in the zone, it has life. You get foul balls. You get easy strikes. You get pop-ups in the zone. And now we're going to start to basically reconstruct the way he throws his sides. We're going to work on throwing the ball up in the zone more than we would normally. The downside about that is that they fall in love with it, and now you start a guy off with it, now you're 1-0, 2-0, and as you move up to the higher levels, these guys are very patient, they know the strike zone, so it's a two-strike attack mode versus 0-0. We don't want guys going out there and saying, okay, I can get up in the zone, I'm really good at successful up in the zone, let me start up in the zone, because now you're 1-0, and that doesn't work, and we all know that.
I think I ask you this question every year when we have you on the spring, Pat, but guys in the system, we everybody knows Nate Pearson's coming. Eric Pardino's been a lot of talk about him. But give me the names of a couple of guys in this system who we might not be familiar with, who you're excited about?
You know, it's funny. Great question. I actually went over to the minor league complex. I saw Clayton Richards against Nate Pearson in the first inning. Great. You know, Nate was just explosive. The ball was coming out of his hand. Great. He has really nice delivery. Reminded me of Clemens, to be honest with you, the way his delivery is. Now, the two innings later, this guy came in. His name was Logue. I'd never seen him pitch, and it was just a sneaky, aggressive, late life on his ball, snappy little hook. I liked him. I really liked him. And Vince and I were sitting next to each other, double-A pitching coach, and we were having a lot of fun talking about him.
Now, one of the stories of this camp so far has been, knock on wood, I'm going to use Mr. Brunt's head, but knock on wood, Stroman and Sanchez healthy. It seems like there might be a little bit of competition going on between the two of them again. Boy, if those guys can stay healthy, Pat, talk about the trickle-down effect on a guy like Ryan Barucki, for example, to have those two guys, those two horses, be so strong around him.
Oh, it's huge. And the competitive thing is great. It's extremely healthy. I had the same thing with Clemens. Although I couldn't keep up with them, I tried like heck, you know. And I think that Stroman and Sanchez are going to be, they're already really super competitive. That only brings the best out of our players. So I encourage all the guys to have that type of atmosphere. You know, you think about the Braves. I know I talked to Smoltz about it back in the day. I'll show my age here. But Smoltz said that they were super competitive between the three of those guys, four of those guys over there. So it's going to really help Ryan Barucki for sure to be able to take a deep breath, relax, and know that Stroman 1 and Sanchez 1A or 1A and 1B or however you want to call it, they're going to go out there and eat up some innings and save our pen. And it takes some heat off Barucki for sure.